Ambrose Bagley remained much as we'd left him earlier in the day, except the phenomenon of rigor mortis now held the fellow in its tight grip. In fact, the deceased might easily have been mistaken for an ironing board, were it not for his brogue shoes, to which the dowager objected, because a gentleman would never consider such a vulgar shade of tan. Inspector Whipple assumed command of the crime scene as if marshalling his troops ready for action. First he ordered his two constables to scour the immediate area for anything that might imply a connection to the victim. Then he asked H.G. to recount our finding of Ambrose. It immediately struck me as surprising how well they got on. The dowager was dazzling in an almost luminescent green three-quarter pleated skirt in the latest fashion, with a light jacket and snug-fitting cloche hat. H.G.'s ensemble favoured sensible day shoes with sturdy Louis heels. For Whipple's part, he continued to sweat in his light brown Macintosh raincoat and dark brown trilby. For a plainclothes policeman, his attire did not strike me as offering a high degree of anonymity. His tall frame and pale pallor gave the impression of a man suffering from seasickness, rather than the strong bearing one might expect of Scotland Yard's world-famous crime solver. "The sight of blood and corpses doesn't agree with the inspector's constitution," H.G. later confided, which I thought bizarre given his line of business. At any rate, the pair got on like a house on fire, with each challenging the other's view with close attention and respect. "You see the poor fellow's expression? As if surprised and disappointed at the same time." Whipple rubbed his clean-shaven chin between a finger and thumb, and he leaned forward to test H.G.'s assessment. "Then you're suggesting the man knew his assailant? As for his disappointment, I think that natural, given the outcome of what took place here." I pondered Whipple's latter point. So far, discussion surrounded the nature of Ambrose's position and injuries, and not how or why he came to be beside the lake. I put this point to him, who at first gave me a suspicious look. "Are you sure I haven't nicked you for something recently? A burglary, perhaps? Or the taking of a motor vehicle?" Thankfully, H.G. put a stop to his interrogation. "Cease this silliness, Arthur. You know perfectly well that Rex conveyed you from the train station. That he now wears a day suit instead of a chauffeur's uniform does not disguise the fact that it's the same fellow." The inspector looked me up and down, peering at me through almost closed eyes. Rex. What sort of a name is that for a chap?" I looked to H.G. for further support on the matter. "It is enough for you to know I consider this young man as my apprentice. I'm tutoring him in the art of sleuthing. Speaking of which, I take it we agree the murderer knew Ambrose Bagley?" The dowager's explanation of my status immediately changed Whipple's countenance toward me. Instead of taking an unhealthy interest in the possibility I was a criminal, the man merely sniffed the air and ignored my presence after offering a final half-glance and sort of sucking sound. "Yes, I'm satisfied the assailant knew his victim, and given you and several others are here for the weekend, I think it's safe to say that our murderer lurks among the Colonel's house guests.